tariff. How Andrea and Desiree's feud almost bankrupted Samantha's business. Disclaimer, while this case study describes a real business situation and intervention, all names Samantha, Andrea, Desiree, and specific job titles have been changed to protect the privacy and confidentiality of the individuals and the organization involved. The core challenges, dynamics, and lessons learned remain authentic to the engagement. Business owners are acutely aware of obvious costs, rent, payroll, inventory, marketing, but there's an often invisible expense, an insidious friction that can be just as damaging, if not more so, unresolved personnel conflicts simmering just below the surface. We call it the toxicity tariff, a hidden tax levied by hazardous workplace dynamics. Samantha learned this the hard way, watching her company nearly crumble not because of market forces or a flawed product, but because of a toxic rivalry between two key leaders, Andrea, her general manager, and Desiree, a crucial department head. On paper, Andrea and Desiree were rock stars. Driven, ambitious, and seemingly dedicated, they reported good numbers and kept their departments humming, or so Samantha believed. As CEO, Samantha focused on strategy, expansion, the big picture. She trusted her leadership team implicitly. What she didn't perceive was the daily cold war they waged, a relentless campaign to outshine, undermine, and outperform each other, transforming the workplace into a battlefield for their subordinates. Andrea, as GM, would set a strategic direction. Desiree, leading a vital operational department, would then interpret those directives in ways that subtly highlighted her team's indispensability, often creating processes that conflicted with Andrea's broader goals or caused friction with other departments. Directives became confusing whispers down the line. Employees would receive marching orders from Andrea, only to have Desiree present a better, conflicting way to execute, often implying Andrea's approach was inefficient or misguided. Staff felt constantly pulled in two directions, forced into unspoken loyalty tests. Whose direction should they follow? Whose favor was safer to curry? Initiative fatigue quickly set in. Why invest energy in Andrea's project if Desiree might scrap it or demand it be redone next week using her preferred method? Morale plummeted. Worse still, this dysfunction was an open secret among the staff but remained a closed book to Samantha. Attempts to raise concerns were met with futility. Complaints lodged with HR seemed to vanish. It emerged that HR felt powerless, caught between two influential managers who appeared untouchable, possibly perceived as having strong backing from the CEO and other key leaders, a perception Samantha inadvertently reinforced through her lack of intervention, operating within her blind spot. The message to employees was stark: keep your head down, your mouth shut, and survive. And survive became the operative word as a slow rot began, and performance nosedived motivated employees devolved into clock watchers. Going the extra mile became a forgotten concept. Quality slipped. Deadlines were technically met, but often just barely, reflecting minimal effort, and sales suffered. Customer service teams, demoralized and confused by the internal politics, became less responsive. Concerns weren't escalated properly because navigating the Andrea-Desiree minefield was too exhausting. Upselling opportunities were routinely missed simply because proactive engagement felt futile. And safety was compromised. Standard operating procedures designed to ensure safe working conditions were merely pencil-whipped. Why report a potential hazard if it meant getting caught in the leadership crossfire, or if reporting channels felt fundamentally broken and ineffective? The company was fortunate to avoid a major incident. Internal theft escalated. Perhaps the most shocking symptom was the rise in internal theft. It started small, office supplies, minor inventory discrepancies. Then it grew significantly. Employees, feeling undervalued, disrespected, and observing leadership consumed by personal agendas, began to feel justified in taking what they felt they were owed. Andrea and Desiree, blinded by their rivalry and focused only on metrics that bolstered their individual positions, missed it completely. They were too busy watching each other to effectively oversee their teams or company assets. The red flags were waving frantically on the profit and loss statements, but Samantha initially attributed the poor performance to external market factors. It wasn't until the numbers became undeniably alarming, threatening the very solvency of the business, that she accepted something deeper was critically wrong. Reluctantly, after hearing about us from a business colleague, she called Consigliera Consulting. We didn't just analyze spreadsheets, we engaged with her people. Confidentially. We observed meetings, shadowed workflows, and listened intently. Within 2 weeks, the picture became painfully clear. The Andrea-Desiree conflict wasn't just background office drama. It was the root cause of nearly every problem bleeding the company dry, creating an environment where inefficiency, neglect, and unethical behavior could fester. Consigliera's intervention was multi-pronged and decisive. 1. Diagnosis and confrontation. We presented the findings to Samantha, starkly outlining the direct financial and cultural cost of the feud. Then came the difficult necessity, confronting Andrea and Desiree, together and separately, with objective data and documented evidence of their behavior's impact. 2. Clear expectations and accountability, supported by Samantha now fully understanding the crisis, we worked with them to redefine roles, responsibilities, and crucially, behavioral expectations for collaboration and mutual respect. Performance metrics were adjusted to include cross-functional teamwork and overall team health indicators. Consequences for undermining behavior were made explicit and non-negotiable. 3. Strengthening internal controls and anti-theft measures, recognizing that the leadership vacuum and toxic environment directly enabled the internal theft, a critical. Part of the intervention involved implementing robust checks and balances. This included tightening inventory management, implementing stricter tracking, regular cycle counts, and clear accountability for discrepancies. Enhancing financial oversight, instituting clear approval processes for expenditures, segregating financial duties where possible, and conducting periodic internal audits. And establishing clear policies, developing and communicating unambiguous anti-theft and anti-bribery policies, outlining prohibited conduct and the serious consequences of violations. And reinforcing reporting channels, strengthening anonymous feedback mechanisms, specifically encouraging reports of suspected financial misconduct, and ensuring HR and management were trained to handle these reports appropriately and confidentially. 4. Opening communication channels beyond financial reporting, anonymous feedback mechanisms for general concerns were established. HR was empowered and retrained, equipped with better tools and clear escalation paths, developed with our guidance, directly to Samantha, to handle future interpersonal conflicts impartially. Regular, facilitated check-ins between Andrea's and Desiree's teams were implemented to foster direct communication. 5. Cultural reset. Samantha initiated company-wide workshops focused on effective communication, constructive conflict resolution, and reinforcing shared company goals, signaling a fundamental shift away from siloed rivalry towards collective success. The recovery wasn't instantaneous. Trust needed to be rebuilt, slowly and deliberately. Samantha lost some valuable employees who were too jaded to believe genuine change was possible. One of the managers involved ultimately couldn't adapt to the new collaborative standard and parted ways with the company. But the financial bleeding stopped. Key performance indicators have gradually improved and continue to trend upward. The theft issues were directly addressed through the new controls and policies. Most importantly, the oppressive atmosphere lifted. People started talking again, sharing ideas, looking out for each other, and safeguarding the company's interests. The lesson, that underlying friction, the unspoken tensions and rivalries you might dismiss as personality clashes, can be silently bankrupting your business. The toxicity tariff manifests not just in lost productivity and low morale, but can directly compromise safety, alienate customers, and foster environments where unethical behavior like theft can thrive unnoticed due to distracted or dysfunctional leadership. Leaders must look beyond surface reports, cultivate genuine communication, establish clear ethical guidelines with robust controls, and possess the courage to address conflict directly and implement necessary checks and balances, no matter how uncomfortable the process may be. If this resonates with you as an employee or an employer, reach out for help before the tariff becomes too high to pay.